Our first lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. But there will be no gloom for her that was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, thou hast increased its joy. They rejoice before thee as the joy at the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of the burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor, thou hast broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with greatness from the time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Our second lesson this evening is from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. But in those last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his word of power. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has obtained is more excellent than theirs. Third lesson this evening is from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping their watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all of the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." This ends the reading from our Holy Scriptures.
I want to thank you all for being here tonight, for taking the time out of your busy holiday schedules for this special time of worship. Christmas is always a wonderful time, a special time, a festive time. It's a wonderful time to come together and to take time out to worship and to praise God and to celebrate what this night is about. I saw something the other day that caught my attention. It was a manger scene, but it wasn't on the lawn of a church or a private residence, but it was on a public square in a public place. And you don't see that very often, not in a public space where a public space is often contested, but there it was. It was the little manger scene. There was Mary and Joseph and a shepherd or two, and of course the baby Jesus, who was at the center of it all. I think one of the things that makes Christmas such a special time is that it has a baby at the center of it. Any holiday that has a baby at the center of it is bound to warm our hearts, because we know, all of us, that babies are special. Babies are cute. They're adorable. They can be messy at times. Some years ago at a Presbytery event, a young female pastor was there with her baby, and she was sitting right beside me, and I couldn't resist. She let me hold her baby, and the baby and I were having a good time. I was holding it and rocking it and patting it on the back, and suddenly it looked at me and just burped all over me. Ruined my new Brooks Brothers tie and everything, but I've always been a little careful since whenever I hold someone's baby. But I'm sure Jesus was a delightful little baby. I'm sure people wanted to pick him up. I'm sure people wanted to hold him and rock him and play with him. They may not have wanted to change his diapers, but I'm sure that he was a wonderful baby to be around. I've always been amazed that God would come to be with us as a little baby. A little vulnerable baby needing a mama and a daddy, needing someone to take care of him, needing someone to feed him, to change him, to burp him. It's amazing to me that the God who created the heaven and the earth and the whole cosmos would come to us as a small, vulnerable baby. I'm even more amazed that God would come to us as this baby, the baby that we just read about, this baby born to a poor teenage mother from the sticks of Judea. It's one thing to be born a small, vulnerable baby. It's another thing to increase that vulnerability by being born to a poor family on the edge of the world, trying to eke out a living. I'm sure God had options. I'm sure God could have been born or made sure that his son was born to a rich, stable family, a prominent family, a family that could make sure that the little baby had everything that it needed in order to thrive. But it's almost as if God is determined not only to become a human being, but it's almost as if God is determined to become the most vulnerable kind of human being. It's as if God is saying, not only am I going to be human, but I'm going to be one of those human beings. A poor human being, a vulnerable human being. Speaking of manger scenes, one of the most arresting scenes that I've seen of late was one that was erected last year. This one was actually in a church. It was in the Evangelical Lutheran Christmas Church in Bethlehem. The scene depicted a little baby Jesus dressed in a kiafya, laying not in a manger, but in the midst of rubble. And it was a backdrop of a sermon given by one of my Facebook friends, the Rev. Munther Isaac, And the name of the sermon is Christ in the Rubble. I would encourage you to listen to the sermon. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. It's a powerful sermon. But it's a reminder that even as we all love babies, their safety and their lives are not always our top priority. Little baby Jesus will find that out soon enough. Of course, the baby is the easy part. One of the things that about babies is they start to grow up. They don't stay in the manger very long before they start growing up. They start learning to walk, get into things. I was talking to someone Sunday about their granddaughter, and she's already learning to walk, already testing her getaway legs. And so parents and grandparents are going to have to be more vigilant in terms of keeping an eye on the baby. And of course, after that, they become dread of all dreads. They become teenagers. And I don't have to tell you how difficult that relationship can be sometimes. I heard a parent say one time that it's hard to believe that my sullen, rebellious teenager is the same person that I used to hold, that same little baby I used to rock and hold. But it is. The baby was the easy part. And of course, before long, the baby is all grown up. It's an adult with its own complex nature and perhaps kids of their own and a whole different relationship. But the baby we celebrate tonight will not just grow up to be any adult. The baby we celebrate tonight will grow up to be the Lord of Lords. He will grow up to be the King of Kings. He will grow up to be the Savior of the whole world, the one on whom the weight of the world will rest on his shoulders. And he invites us not only to trust him, but to follow him. And that's the hard part. We talk a lot about leadership in our world. We talk a lot about the crises of leadership, the failures of leadership. But with the birth of the baby who comes to be with us on this night, the question is no longer a question of leadership, but it's a question of followership. Will we follow him? Will we follow the little baby who comes into the world on this night? When I was a teenager, I used to think being a Christian was relatively easy. I thought it was simply about doing things like not stealing or not using bad language, comporting with the canons of common morality. But I came to learn very quickly that being a Christian means to follow this little baby who grows up to invite us to follow him. And the reason it's so difficult is because it challenges us to come out of all of our presuppositions, all of the ways that we've made our peace with the world, calls us out of all of our political commitments, calls us out of all of our social commitments, calls us out of all the ways that we do business as usual, and it calls us to follow the one who was born on this night. And that's the question to all of us. Will we follow him? Will we follow along the path that he has lit in the darkness? Will we follow him to his kingdom of peace and joy and love? The baby is the easy part. The hard part begins after the Christmas season is over. The hard part begins when this baby grows up and looks us in the eye and says, "Follow me. Come and follow me as I show you what it means to live. Follow me as I show you what it really means to be human. Follow me along the path of God." Will we follow? Perhaps that's a question for another night. But tonight is the night that we wait. Tonight is the night that we are called to wait for the coming of this little bitty baby, to wait for the coming of this child in our midst, to wait for the great light that will light up the world and light up our lives and light up our hearts, if we let it. And so come. Come on this busy night. Come, let all of us adore him.